Blog Talk Radio.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Praise the Lord and good morning on this Monday morning. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, dealing with a little brutally cold weather here in Northwest Arkansas, down to 9 degrees last night. It's a whiteout from the snow, but the skies are blueing up and the sun is shining, and I'm sure it won't be too long until we have nice warm weather around here again. They say that March comes in like a lion, roars like a lion, and goes out like a lamb. Let's hope that's true. Things are changing so much, you don't know what you could trust anymore, but we could always trust the Word of God. In changing times, the Word of God endures. The Word of God does not change with the prevailing minds, but it is steadfast, it is always, it is there 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, and it's here today, 2019, right in the midst of the greatest nation on the face of the earth, the United States of America, and not so great in some of our conduct, which we're going to talk about in just a little bit. And I want to do something this morning. I'm going to play just about 15, 20 seconds of a song. And I want to compare the song that you're about to hear with the other side of life. And I want to ask you, what side of this day do you want to live in? What side of the day do you want to live in? So here's a little song. It's from Joanne McFadder many years ago. And I just want to ask the Holy Spirit to have his way in this music and just bless your heart. Listen for about 30 seconds, and then we'll tell you the reason why we're doing this. Here we go.
What a lovely God you are.
Lost desire.
Okay, so let me just stop that right there. And I wonder if you talk about songs that are very anointed. And this is just one of the older songs that we used to really enjoy and still do. And there's a holiness, a genuine holiness. The vessel was holy, and everything about that was simply holy. But I need to share with you another side of this moment this morning, and please track with me, be patient with me as I say this, because, you know, there's contrariness here. There's contrariness here. And unfortunately, somebody's got to talk about it. Last week, this is Monday, so we're talking last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever day it was, something happened, and I need to go all the way back to San Diego, California. We're talking now a good, at least, wow, let's see, we're talking at least, let me get some facts here. We've been here for 9 years, and we were there for 3 years, that's 12, I'd say a good 15 years ago. So about 15 years ago in San Diego, California, I had gone out on a trip. I don't know if it was a missions trip, where it was, but I was out. And then I came home to San Diego, and I was doing my daily business. I was simply going about my business, and I remember I was at a shopping center. I got into my car, and I started sniffing, and I was like, what is that smell? What is that? And it smelled like vomit. You know what vomit smells like? I mean, it's a really, really bad odor. I remember smelling. I'm like, wow, is there something in my car? What, you know, what is this? And of course, I checked everything. I checked my upper lip. I checked everything, right? And, what's going on here? And that smell, that vomitous smell, that stench was around for about 2 days. And I thought, my God, what is this? Finally, I found out that there was a gay pride parade that marched through the city streets of San Diego that week. And I made a connection way back then that, wow, when God calls something an abomination, it is simply an abomination. The stench and the filthiness, and I knew because I was operating in the crystal clear, prophetic, crackling, you know, Holy Spirit in those days. Believe me when I tell you, it was high-level prophetic, and that's where all these writings that I get have come from that season in my life. And I remember thinking, stench that was released through that gay pride issue. Now, way back then, we weren't marrying men and men marrying men and all that stuff. We hadn't gone that far yet, but the pride parades were everywhere, right? And so last week, right here, I was with Patricia, and I got in the car, and I smelled vomit. And I thought, oh, no, did Max, you know, have an issue with his stomach? Max is our little dog. And no, and this smell was really constant. And I told Patricia, I said, there's vomit. I smell vomit. What is that? And, of course, I remembered, but I thought, no. And then I was just told that the gay pride parade happened right up the road in Fayetteville last week. And then I realized that gay pride parades were going on all over the country and around the world. And I have a list of in front of me right now. I want to tell you what this is. And I'm not trying to be mean-hearted. I'm telling you the truth. I smelled the vomit again. And I'm telling you that God calls homosexuality and this kind of perversion, he calls it an abomination, and he says it for a reason. And I want you to listen. This is what's going on around the world. And here it is. You ready for this? There are over 200 gay pride parades that have been scheduled for 2019 and 2020. Now, the ones that have already happened, excuse me, was in Sitges at the Sitges Carnival in Miami, the Winter Party Miami, and these are the names of them. New Orleans, the Gay Mardi Gras, Cologne Carnival, and then from March 1st to 2019, there's Rio de Janeiro in the Carnival Rio, Stockholm in the Melo de Festivalen final. These are the names of them. Then there is the upcoming ones of the Gran Canaria, they call the Carnival, the Tignes, which is the European Snow Pride, Fort Lauderdale, the Atlantis Celebrity Edge Gay Cruise, Munich, the Stark Beer Fest Meeting, Amsterdam, the Amsterdam Bear Weekend, Les Arcs, which is the European Gay Ski Week, Solden, the Gay Snow Happening, and then in April, they have Miami Beach Gay Pride, Vancouver, it's called Rub Out, in Amsterdam, the Eurovision in Concert, in Phoenix, the Phoenix Gay Pride, in Bangkok, the Songkran Thai New Year, in Berlin, Germany, the Easter Leather and Fetish Week, in Hong Kong, the Atlantis Hong Kong to Japan Gay Cruise, Barcelona, the Matini Easter Weekend. Imagine that, having a Gay Pride Festival on Easter weekend. Berlin, Snacks Club. In Cleveland, the Claw Leather Awareness. Palm Springs, the White Party Palm Springs. In Madrid, Sleazy Madrid is what they chose to call it. Amsterdam, the King's Day Amsterdam. Torremolinos, which is Delice Dream. Tokyo, the Tokyo Rainbow Pride. And then in May, they have the Gran Canaria again, the Gay Pride Maspalomas. Palm Springs, the Latino Oasis, Dallas, the Purple Party, Gran Canaria again, the Circuit Festival, Tel Aviv, the Eurovision Song Contest, Tel Aviv, that's Israel, Brussels, the Belgian Pride, Los Angeles, Long Beach Pride, Puerto Vallarta Pride, Paris Fetish, Chicago, the International Mr. Leather, Miami Sizzle, Washington, D.C., D.C. Black Pride, Birmingham Gay Pride, and then the Torremolinos Gay Pride, the Dusseldorf, CSD Dusseldorf, Orlando, One Magical Weekend, Boston Pride, and then in June, they have the Aris, which is the Aris Pride, they have Cleveland, then back to Dallas, and then the Sitges, and then New York. The New York City Gay Pride, they're expecting in this one, by the way, in June, this coming June, over 3 million to pour into the New York City Gay Pride, the same city that just initiated that whole abortion issue. But then it goes on into Key West, Florida, the Key West Pride Fest, Washington, D.C., Capital Pride, Cologne, again, Germany, Cologne Fetish Pride, the Circuit Asia Weekend, and then back to the New Orleans Gay Pride, New Orleans, back to Paris, Paris Tournament, and then Rome, Italy, Gay Pride Rome, Vienna, Life Ball, Los Angeles Pride, Detroit, Motor City Pride, Vienna Euro Pride, Philadelphia, the Philly Gay Pride, back to Tel Aviv, in the Tel Aviv Gay Pride, Shanghai Pride, Zurich, the CSD Zurich, Oslo, the Oslo Gay Pride, Rhode Island Pride, Denver, Gay Pride Fest Denver, Portland, Portland Pride, Dublin, Gay Pride Dublin, Toronto, Pride Toronto, Milan, Italy, Gay Pride Milan, Houston, Gay Pride Houston, Chicago, Chicago Pride, Twin Cities Pride, New York, Folsom Street East, Sao Paulo, Gay Pride, Helsinki, Helsinki Pride, Barcelona, Gay Pride Barcelona, Provincetown, Independence Weekend, Madrid, Madrid Gay Pride, New York, Harlem Pride, San Francisco, San Francisco Pride, Chicago, Chicago Pride, Seattle, Seattle Pride. Wow, it's going to be a busy June. Now we jump into July. Madrid, Sleazy Madrid. That's what they call it. Cologne, Cologne Gay Pride. London, Gay Pride London. Budapest, Budapest Gay Pride. Venice, the Cruise by Demenz. Munich, the CSD Munich. The Luxembourg, Gay Matt Gay Pride. London Fetish Week London, San Diego, San Diego Pride, Stuttgart, CSD Stuttgart, Provincetown, Bear Week, Seattle, RSVP Gay Alaska Cruise, Frankfurt, Frankfurt Pride, Berlin, Berlin Pride, Tilburg Pride, Berlin Gay Pride Week, Belfast, Belfast Gay Pride Festival. Then it goes into Belfast again. And then Berlin, Gay Pride Week, Amsterdam. Here's this funny one. Milkshake Festival. Ha. Ah, Hamburg, Hamburg Pride. San Francisco, of course, is called Up Your Alley. Stockholm, Stockholm Gay Pride. Then we get into August, and it goes on and on and on. Oh, my gosh. Listen, I'll just give you the places where it's going to be in August. Amsterdam, Brighton, Vancouver, Prague, Torremolinos, Antwerp, Hamburg, Reykjavik, Barcelona, Montreal, Munich, Chicago, New York, Copenhagen, Orlando, Provincetown, Wörthersee, Mykonos, Cardiff, Manchester, Calgary, Barcelona, Black Rock Desert, and then back to Reykjavik, and New Orleans, and Austin, and Queenstown, and then in September, Benidorm, San Francisco, Berlin, Barcelona, Munich, Caraco, San Francisco. And then in October, Los Angeles, Gran Canaria, Atlanta, Orlando, Berlin, Hawaii, New Orleans, Brussels, Palm Springs, Gran Canaria, Fort Lauderdale. And then it goes in back to Madrid, Rio de Janeiro, Amsterdam, Aspen, Hamburg, Washington, D.C. again, Arosa, Miami, Vancouver, Rio de Janeiro, San Juan, Bangkok, Amsterdam, and then it pretty well peters out from there. So please forgive me as I'm trying to navigate through all this, because when I see this and I think about the world in which we live, over 200 homosexual, gay, lesbian, transgender, queer marches, and God's given me a prophetic sense to smell when things are nearby. Last week, had no idea that there was a gay pride parade in Fayetteville, 20 miles up the road, and that I could smell the vomit. And I'm telling you that we live in an environment, I don't care what you're hearing out there, it is a very grotesque, very unclean environment. Now, we're finding out in our little New Wine ministry a number of things about artists, musicians, songs. And we just recently, somebody brought a song into the church. Beautiful song, by the way. Beautiful. Well written. The woman singing it, outspoken lesbian in a church that is allowing it to happen for whatever reason. Question was, should we allow that beautiful song to be sung in our church, beautiful song about God, by a woman that's in the lifestyle of lesbianism, or should a man be able to prophesy? Now, this is such an old conversation. Believe me, I would so much rather leave this alone and get on to the more important stuff that's going on. But this is pretty important, I think, because it's about an infiltration into the church. And we heard this year that this would be the year of the wolf, and that grievous wolves were going to enter in among the flock and not spare it. And we were called to get our shepherd's rod prepared so that we could protect God's flock. And what I'm having a hard time with is how the churches are opening their doors to this kind of activity and not restraining it. And I see it as an invasion. You know, the president sees the southern border as an invasion. Well, I see an invasion in the spirit world coming in through all these mechanisms. And I wonder, even though they're extremely gifted and beautiful to a degree, what kind of influence are they ultimately going to have? You know, the beautiful side of evil, the angel of light. You know, it's always, you know, the enemy gets deeper territory when he comes like an angel of light, because we're more prone to open ourselves up and, oh, that feels good, that's nice. And so we need to have a discussion. We need to have a discussion ultimately on the difference between the soul and the spirit. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. And because one is life and one is death, and one can counterfeit the other and emulate. I mean, we need to make sure that we are in the spirit of God and understand the difference of being in the soul. And the soul, the imagination, the mind, the will, the emotions, the feelings, you know, all of those things could be exaggerated to the zenith degree, but still be a soul realmic activity. Whereas the spirit is transformative. Okay. So the soul can make you feel good, but there's never any change. And when we're in the spirit, there's transformation. And so real nature transformation, okay? So I'm smelling this vomit. I find out that this is going on. It's been going on. We're living in a world where you're not hearing it from the churches. You're not hearing it from the preachers. They're afraid to talk about it. I've had actual ministers tell me, stop talking about the homosexual thing. Years ago, they told me, stop talking about that. Just leave that alone. God won't let me leave it alone, or else I wouldn't be smelling the vomit again. And I'm just thinking out loud here that what kind of an atmosphere are we living in as we go back and forth to our churches? Now, I'm all about the song that I sing for you, because that's beautiful. I didn't sing it. Joanne McFadder sang it. But that song is beautiful. And when you dwell in that and your spirit migrates into worship, that's the most beautiful thing there is. And I think that somehow that's kind of a refuge itself. The world that we are living in is saturated. It's saturated with filthiness, and it's uncontested and unrestrained. And all you have to do is realize what goes on in a gay pride parade. And there have been those that have actually been led by the Holy Spirit of God to go to witness Jesus Christ to these people, and who have taken unto themselves to show what goes on. And it's so grotesque, I would never dare present it over these airwaves, what goes on in these parades where children, little boys, little girls, they have, I think, 12,000, there's an in Australia, that wasn't even mentioned, in Sydney, Australia, this weekend, they had a massive gay pride parade festival, and there were over 500,000 viewers viewing the over 12,000 parade participants, some of the numbers that we got. And so we could ignore it. We could ignore it. Your pastor can ignore it. You could ignore it. Your church could ignore it. Or you could debate about this, whether, you know, well, you know, we can't be so hard. We have to show Christian love, et cetera, et cetera. You could do that. But you do need to know that in the spiritual atmosphere, you are being puked on. You are being puked on. And what the devil is doing, he's spewing out of his mouth a flood of iniquity. And that's, you know, Jesus said he would puke the lukewarm out of his mouth. So don't get too doubt on me. Don't get too offended by me. The Lord Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I'm going to puke you out, because I can't stand lukewarm Christians, right? Well, the devil also spews out of his mouth. In other words, he vomits out of his mouth, out of his gut, out of his belly. He lets this flood of iniquity go forth. And if you don't recognize the flood of iniquity that's coming out of the belly of the beast at this moment that we're living in, you may not be, you know, aware. And I'm trying to make you aware that there is a spiritual atmosphere that is so demonically rank that that flood is designed to sweep away the woman, the church, the Christians. And our ignoring what is going on in our world at this time is not a healthy thing. I believe it's time to stand up and to confront and to declare and to rebuke the demonic spirits that are being released through these actions of perversion. And it's a battle, it's a war, because it deals with sexuality. And a lot of people in the churches have sexual issues going on. To that, there's no doubt. And the devil knows that he has ensnared many Christians because of their own sexual problems or their own sexual issues, and they don't want them to step out into the battle because they have a sense that I'm going to lose this battle because of my own sensuality. Well, I believe that greater is he that is in you and me than he that is in the world, and greater than our own flesh. If you and I are not yet able to take up our cross and slay the perversion within our own sensual nature or sexual nature, so that we could stand up and fight a good fight in this realm, well, we're just losing the battle. And you have to admit, with men marrying men, women marrying women, men turning their body into women and women turning their body into men, with over 200 gay pride festivals being marched throughout the world, the church has lost the battle. You'd have to kind of admit that, wouldn't you? The church has lost the battle. When mainline denominations are promoting homosexual pastors and lesbian pastors, and mainline denominations are embracing the homosexual agenda, you have to admit the church has pretty much lost the battle. When a pastor is silent on an issue that God calls an abomination, you have to admit you lost the battle. And so the church is literally being held at bay while we talk about all this political stuff that's going on in the world and Make America Great Again. But the very man that's leading Make America Great Again is embracing the LGBTQ flag. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't have a purpose in it. Maybe he does. Maybe he does. And the purpose of his embracing that flag is because he wants to tell the other nations around the world, stop killing these people. Because in Saudi Arabia, in Iran, in other parts of the world, if you get caught in a homosexual act, you get killed. Well, in America, a generation ago, if you were caught in a homosexual act, you went to prison. And in Israel, if you got caught in a homosexual act, you got killed. There was something that the ancient wisdom knew about this kind of activity, how it would psychologically affect the psyche of the nation. In Israel, if these things were practiced in the days of King David, or, you know, in those days, they knew what it would do to their society. So there were very harsh laws against it. In the United States, we knew better than murdering our innocent little babies in the womb, and we knew better than allowing this practice to take place. And so you went to prison. There were laws. And now those laws that restrain are no longer there. And the flood of iniquity is pouring forth. And people in the church are having homophobic issues, homosexual issues, lesbian issues, sensual issues, psychological issues. And you're saying, where's this all coming from? Because the actions that are being perpetrated in these pride events are releasing demonic spirits of perversion everywhere. And that's why pedophilia is such a high reality. I mean, whoever thought that we would be dealing with pedophiles in the degree that it's being participated in our generation, where grown men are having sexual intercourse with little boys and little girls. Yeah, it was in the Roman Empire. Sure, it goes back in time. But this is a global issue right now in the global sex trade trafficking issue. I want to ask the church, what is the church doing about this? And now the president of the United States is embracing the idea of we've got to protect because it sounds so noble. And yet the same president that wants to protect these homosexuals from being killed is putting up a border from people coming into the country illegally. So he wants to protect our nation against the invading forces, but he wants to protect those invading forces that create a psychological problem in countries where it's permitted. It's a little awkward to me. Maybe I'm wrong. Could be. I could be totally wrong in my assessment of this issue. But it seems a little absurd to me to be getting all politically minded when we're promoting and defending the promotion of the very things that God calls an abomination. And who is God going to hold responsible within the society? Well, Lot, obviously, he went into Sodom and Gomorrah, and he lived there. Doesn't have any appearance that he was responsible for what was going on. He just chose to live there. But his righteous soul was vexed every day by the filthy conduct of the wicked. That's what the Bible says. And you can imagine smelling vomit every day because of the environment that you live in is like that. Now, people don't like to talk this way. They don't like to talk about puke and vomit and all that stuff. But the Bible is very clear about this, both in the realm of Almighty God and the realm of Satan, that this is a reality. What is disgusting to the Lord are lukewarm Christians. You know what a lukewarm Christian is? Those who are silent on the issues or participate in those issues. And let me just read to you so you don't think I'm making this up out of the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, you see, here's a problem as I'm turning there. There's a lot of people in the body of Christ that have family members that caught in the lifestyle, participate in the lifestyle, live in it, and they love their children. And so they're either afraid to say what needs to be said, or they have hope for their kids that they're going to be delivered from this lifestyle. And the world is very powerful. And if your kids are caught into this lifestyle, you know, it's going to take a massive SEAL team operation, a real black ops operation to deliver your kid. And I'm talking God's going to have to send some mighty angels. And the Spirit of God is going to have to employ a lot of effort and energy into that situation to get your kid's mind back to normal again. Because they've embraced the lie that this is normal, this is okay, and that you who speak out against it are the bigots, you are the homophobics, you are the people that have a problem, and they don't really have much of a battle because they're slaves to these perverse spirits. And the spirits have taken over their soul to such a degree that the people are only speaking what the spirits are saying, but their minds have been taken captive. And so to break into that arena and to deliver and set them free, which is not a big deal, by the way, for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 makes it very clear, such were some of you, and he's talking about homosexuals and all these things, such were some of you. So people can get saved. Homosexual men can get saved from their homosexuality. Lesbian women can get saved from their lesbianism. Transgender-minded people can be saved and delivered from that insanity. But it requires an acknowledgement that what you're doing is wrong and a conviction to admit the fact that what I'm doing is worthy of the wrath of God and the punishment of God to come on my life. That's how you and I got born again. But right now, the environment is so powerful in the demonic because sin has empowered the spirits that you really have to have an amazing intercession and some fasting for the Spirit of God to break into that thing and deliver your kid's mind and soul from it. You're talking to them, laying forth seeds is a great way to go when you speak that seed into their heart, the Word of God, in love, and you hope that God's Word will not return void or empty, right? So we're in this battle, but to be silent is not the answer. To be silent is not the answer. And I want to just read out of Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll just pick it up in verse 8. Ephesians 5:8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the times, or the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So what is the Apostle Paul telling the church to do? It's very clear. He's saying that we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And why do we reprove them? Because we are light. And when the light doesn't shine on the darkness, well, we know what happens. When the light doesn't shine on the darkness, men stay in the light. What happens when light does shine in the darkness? Well, let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And in John, chapter 3, let's pick it up in verse 16, the famous John 3:16. And here's what we read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me ask you a question. If a lesbian woman practicing lesbianism says she believes in Jesus Christ, but she remains a lesbian, does she really believe in Jesus Christ? No, because she doesn't believe in his message, which is confess your sin and repent. Anybody that says they believe in Jesus Christ, but continues in the lifestyle that's contrary to Christ's message, doesn't really believe, period. Now, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Praise God. But that the world through him might be saved. So when Jesus came into this world, he didn't come to condemn us. When he came to save us. Thank you, Jesus. Then we come into verse 18. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So Jesus came into an already condemned world, and those that believe in him, he sent light, right? And then they accepted him, and so they're saved because they're believing his message. And then verse 19, here it is. And this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Well, let's stop right there and just admit some things. When the church does not shine its light, what a condemnation on the church. Because the church is to be the light of the world, and the church is called to expose the darkness. So when the church puts its light under a bushel for one reason or another, that's shame on the church. That's condemnation on the church. But when the church lets its light shine, or lets the light of the gospel, the light of Christ, shine, his message, when the light shines in the darkness, well, what we find is that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the church is no longer condemned because it shined the light. It said to the homosexual man, your homosexuality is a sin against God. And unless you confess this, admit this, and turn from this, you're going to be condemned forever. You're already condemned in your sin. You're living in darkness, but your darkness will be eternal. But if you confess your sin and repent and stop living that way, and trust Jesus and really believe in him and his message and allow the Holy Spirit to give you the power to bring about a transformation, you're going to have eternal life. But if you don't confess what you're doing is evil, if you stand behind all of these new doctrines that this is normal, this is acceptable, God tolerates this, God loves you even though, and that you're going to go to heaven even though, you know, you got to get rid of that. That's the lying, demonic deception in the doctrines that are being taught today. Well, not only do men love darkness rather than light, he goes on in verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So what do we have here? The church is called to be the light, to expose, to reprove, to make manifest what's going on in the darkness. And we're living at a time where the darkness couldn't be any darker, where you have over 200 gay pride parades with millions, 3 million going to be in New York and 500,000 over in Sydney and hundreds of thousands in Tel Aviv. And you have a darkened world where nations, over 122 nations, have embraced the homosexual agenda. And the thing you have to realize is that God's word has never changed, that this is darkness, this is wickedness, this is perversion, this is confusion, this is abomination, this carries with it a demonic release into the atmosphere. Is the church ready for this? We keep talking about the end times. How is the church going to stand against the end times? Where are the thousands of pastors? Why aren't there 10,000 pastors or 100,000 pastors gathering together in Washington, D.C. to condemn the laws that were promoted in June of 2015 concerning homosexual marriages and lesbian marriages? Why aren't there millions of Christians condemning the actions of the condemned? I mean, if 3 million people are going to go to that parade, then 10 million Christians need to show up in New York and condemn it. But you know what? The church is afraid. They're afraid. They're afraid because they know this is a battle. This is a real war. It's like the children of Israel hanging up on the mountainside. Well, Goliath is cursing the armies of God, and it took a little shepherd boy by the name of David to raise his voice and to contend with that spirit. Where is the church today? Where is the church? Is it laying in the lap of luxury with its financial success and going about its business? And where is the church really engaged in these epic battles? And why can't we see the spiritual reality of the captivity of so many people been taken out of the battle? All those armies of Israel on the side of the mountain, they may have been dressed in battle clothes, but they weren't going into the valley to fight. So do I have a right concern? Am I okay in my address here this morning? I'd leave it to you. The number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. I'd love to hear your comments. I hope you don't think that I'm just coming from a mean-spirited condition or position, but I did smell something very grotesque. It's happened before, and sure enough, it was the same thing, and would love to hear from you. Let's take our first call coming from area code 479-238. You are on the air. Welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, Pastor. Great show, and, you know, when I've got relatives that are living in that lifestyle, and you know, when Christ died on the cross, he died for our sins. God sent his only son to the cross for us. That's love. Okay, when you accept what they're doing, living in sin, that's not love. When you confront them and let them know this is wrong, okay, the sin that you're doing is wrong, and you need to turn and repent from it and let them know that you'll not accept it. You love them, but you don't love that sin, and you're not going to perpetuate it or continue to help them in it. That's love. And I think what you're preaching today is love, to those people to understand, hey, God loves you, and you're going to burn in a devil's hell if you don't turn from that. That's just my opinion, Pastor. Have a blessed day.
Well, thank you for your sharing. I think it's a great way to share. As you were talking, I was thinking about how you ever see somebody for the first time get ready to get in trouble, and you shout, hey, hey, hey. But down the road, you don't get as passionate about it anymore because it's kind of becomes acceptable. Well, that's what's happening. Let's take our next call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the air. You're on the air. Area code 858.
Yes, thank you. And it's been an interesting program, to say the least. What came to my mind when you were describing all of these different nations, cities, countries that are engulfing and embracing the homosexual agenda, it came to my mind that the reason for it was because of the love of money. You see, all that you had mentioned means that there will be a great deal of money to these various states and nations that receive this onslaught of homosexuality and the parades and all of what it does. It brings in a lot of money, not a little. And the love of money is the beginning. That love of money is so demonic, and it brings forth many things that are just absolutely the most hideous of all. And then the power thereof that embraces them to give them power, because these states and these officials love money, but the power that they ensue, not only the state, but the agenda of the homosexual, brings them to a greater place of takeover. And isn't that the work of Satan, to deal his treachery through power and the love of money, which is the root of all evil? And so this is what we're looking at. We're not just looking at a lifestyle, but we're looking at something more demonic and more beholding of the work of Satan himself as a takeover. And so as wise Christians, we have to realize what is really going on, and where we need to do is start pulling down strongholds and working a spiritual warfare and becoming the soldiers of God, not only in the physical realm of what you're doing on radio, which is necessary, but in the spirit, we must rise up and take the land. And this is where the true war is. It's in the kingdom of darkness against the kingdom of the true light. And so those who are embracing or being silent, it's all about, I won't have money if I speak and if I just announce the things that I know are wrong, because people will stop coming to the church. Or it is because it empowers them to such a degree, fear comes on, that the government will do something to bring that individual who is speaking up to jail. So there goes the power and there goes the money. And how do we fight the good fight? By being true Christians and by rising up in the spirit and coming against the demonic presence. I realize that that doesn't seem to be a real convincing war to many, but it is the greatest warfare of all.
Well, amen to that. And I always appreciate Patricia's comments, because here you have a warrior that wants to fight. And, you know, that's the Davidic heart. You know, let's go in there and deal with this uncircumcised Philistine, while most of the Christians are up on the mountain saying, we dare not go down there and fight in this battle. And another thing, as Patricia was talking, I was thinking about Hollywood or the pornography industry. You know, we're talking about homosexuality and the root of money, right? The love of money being the root of all evil. Well, the multi-billion, hundreds of billions of dollars that are spent in pornography is all about women putting their bodies out there, going through sexual scenes to make money. And then Hollywood, of course, the bastion of financial success, the very belly of the beast, I've always said if Washington, D.C. is the swamp, then Hollywood is the belly of the beast. It is the just the vortex of evil. Let's take this next call coming in from South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yes. Concerning the problem with the sodomite spirit that is all over the world, well, if people have read their Bibles, you will find out what God had to do in Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed it with fire. And then when it comes down to the churches, and I think I'm going to say just America mostly, but I know it's all over, I believe that people do know the Word of God, but they don't know the author of the book of the Word of God. And their knowledge is so carnal that they have never tapped in to the Spirit of God where the battle be won to tear down these strongholds. And I believe that Jesus Christ is going to come forth with a remnant of people that there will that it will be called either light or darkness. And God is going to have his way, and there will be a remnant that will stay true until the second coming of the Lord.
Well, amen. Well said. And I totally agree with that. There will be a people alive and remaining until the coming of the Lord. That is such a beautiful, refreshing scripture. But it's all about those who endure to the end. The remaining ones are those who remain to the end of this battle. So let me just ask you this, church. Well, before I go on, let's take our next call. We have one more call coming in at the moment. Area code 479-855. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. I just wanted to say exactly what you were talking about. I have a dear sister in the Lord, an intercessor. She had a son who was caught up in that sin of homosexuality. She confronted him in love, but she prayed through. She never let it go. It took several years, but that man is free. He is free from that sin because of a mother that spoke the truth, wouldn't let go of the enemy, and kept praying for him, and he's a free man today.
Wow, what a beautiful report. I remember years ago there was an organization called Exodus International, and I forget who the leader of it was, but it was a gentleman that had come out of the homosexual lifestyle. He started a ministry called Exodus International, and it became an international ministry for homosexuals and lesbians that had been in the lifestyle. They came through that, and they were getting set free and delivered and healed and restored. But you know, the enemy wound up breaking that entire ministry down. And because that's how powerful the spirit of this particular perversion of the enemy is. And so here we have a testimony of an individual praying for her son, getting the victory. And now, you know, through Christ's inner strengthening, now that individual must remain through. And then here we are in all these days of this promotion of it. You know, that's a mental issue. And either that vessel will be used mightily by God to go in and deliver and tell the truth, because he's so set free. And listen, you and I know that God, when he sets the captive free, he sets the captive free. I know people that have been involved in drug addiction and all that other stuff that have been totally made free. They could go and speak out against it and not become entangled again with it. That's the deliverance that we're talking about. So what a great report. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, bless the Lord.
Amen. Yes, he is. Yes, he is faithful.
This young man is staying in the Word, and that is what is keeping him set free. He has filled his heart with the Word of God, so he's able to stand now. He was not able to do that when he was in the darkness.
Amen. Amen to that. And that's the key to everything. It's staying in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for sharing that. We appreciate that call. And the number to call, by the way, is 818-369-0326. We're talking about, I guess, some stuff that's hitting pretty close to home. And how does the church deal with it? You see, we are in a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual war. And you may say, well, you know, I'm not being tempted to become a homosexual. I'm not being tempted to become a lesbian because that spirit is everywhere. No, but the war is more clever than that. It's not trying to convert people into the lifestyle. What it is a frontal attack against the church, showing the weakness of the church, the immobility of the church, that it has no power to restrain or stop it. And it is a direct offense against God. And that's why I say against the church is against God. And so the church is being shown as weak in this particular battle because there hasn't been a voice that has risen up to condemn it and to bring transformation into our halls of justice. Again, do you realize the work we have ahead of us as an ecclesia? Do you realize what you and I as members of the church are responsible to do? I mean, my dear friend Daniel Seckham, he came on the airwaves here with me from Australia a few months ago, and he said, forget about MAGA, make America great again. He says, we need MAMA, make America moral again. And he was so right when he said that, because without a moral America, there could be no great America. And to make America moral again means that we go back a generation and we put some restrictions on the FCC. We put restrictions on Hollywood. We put restrictions in the, you know, in our laws. And what we do is we promote righteousness again. And that's what you have to do. But you know, and I know in the last days, there isn't going to be a promotion of righteousness because the restrainer is going away. What is the restraint? Righteous laws is what restrain the darkness. And now that that restraint is being taken away and the promotion of evil has been, you're witnessing around the world in mass what is happening. There's no restraint left. And very soon, that man of sin will appear. And he will walk into the world stage, and he will have an ability. We've got another call. Let me make sure. Patricia, is that you? Did you have something else you wanted to share?
Yes, I did. Something that I think in line with what you were speaking, I don't know if you remembered that you said that the enemy would rise up and spew out of his mouth filth. And what I thought about at that moment is the woman runs into the wilderness. That is the church, the true church of God. And she divides herself, come out of her, my people. And she goes into a wilderness spiritual aspect of living in life. But the enemy comes after her as a flood to pour out his filth upon her. And that's what the church is seeing right now. The filth is being poured out by the dragon upon her. But the earth opens up. And the dragon falls through the earth, and it is devoured. So we see that there is victory at the end if we will maintain and endure to the end.
Amen. Amen. Well said. And again, these are the scriptures of enduring to the end. And as we come to the end of our broadcast, I want to ask you, you know, we have about a $300 a month bill that we pay to run this for this little mini radio station we have on Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're paying for two websites every month. We're about $300 a month. Would you consider going to our Omega Radio.org website and sending a donation to the ministry? I haven't asked in a long time. And there is one person that supports the ministry financially. I want to thank God for that one person. And if you would be diligent about just paying the bill and supporting this radio ministry, if you think it's valuable, you could simply go to omegaradio.org and go to the donate tab, and you should be able to send a little gift to the ministry. We would certainly appreciate it. May God bless you for doing it. We're going to leave Blog Talk Radio right now, but omegaradio.org will be broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're going to get more into deliverance. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I'm going to leave you with this beautiful song. You might need this to get cleaned up after today's message. We'll see you tomorrow.